It's 8:45. This is 107.5 Today FM. Right off the top here, I want to thank Don Murdoch for coming live in studio. Don, how are you?
Good. Good to see you again, Dennis. Yeah,
you too. Sad. It's sad news we got to bring you in today, but I do appreciate the fact you can come in and just kind of relate to us and maybe take us back in time. Guy Lafleur's funeral will be starting here in about 15 minutes in downtown Montreal, and I suppose we can start there. Do you recall your first time going into the Forum to play hockey in the NHL?
Well, you know what, Dennis? That's something that, you know, as a 19-year-old kid, I mean, the biggest thing that I've talked to other, you know, rookies like my age is, you know, we always saw the original six, you know, as growing up. We saw Montreal play Saturday night or Toronto. So to go into, like, the Montreal Forum for the first time, Toronto Maple Leaf Gardens, Boston, Chicago, those were just something else. But one thing about Toronto, Montreal, and Montreal is when you walk in, I mean, it's just a shrine of, you know, Stanley Cup winners and Hall of Famers and stuff. It was just unbelievable, and my heart was just fluttering when I walked into the Forum for the first time.
Right. How did you plan to play against Guy Lafleur as a team when you were in there with the New York Rangers? I mean, you have to plan around a superstar like that all the time, I would think.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, we first broke in, you know, I came in 76, 77, you know, you play against them and you see them. You know, I saw him play on TV, but, you know, to get on the ice and play against these guys like him and Steve Shutt and Yvonne Cornwallier and Peter Mahovlich, I mean, but Guy Lafleur was a guy that I just went, oh, man, this guy can skate. And he just flew out there. And like a couple times when you're a rookie, you get memorized instead of figuring, well, I better get out there and keep playing.
I guess you got to think of that, don't you? Yeah, your first time in. What was the first thing happened when you saw him? Or do you remember your first memories of maybe grabbing the puck or being close to you?
Well, like I said, you know, we played against them because when I first went to the Rangers, I played with Walter Tkachuk and Steve Vickers, and we were kind of, Walter was more of a checker type guy, so we did play against them, like him and Steve Shutt, and I think Regine Houle was on that line, or Jacques Lemaire, and like I said, it was just, you know, you better keep up or they'll go flying by, and like you just turn one way, I thought he was right beside me, and then boom, he was 10 feet ahead of me. Like, his speed was unbelievable.
It seemed like he really liked to play. It didn't seem like it was a business to him. And when you hear the interviews about the same thing, even when he came back after he retired, he just said, I get to play hockey. It seemed that way anyhow.
Yeah, you know what? That's the way, you know, I think he was at that point that he just loved the game so much. And I was, as a matter of fact, I was scouting with the Rangers my first year when Phil Esposito took over. And that's when Phil was the one that brought Guy in. Guy's agent called Phil up, and Michel Bergeron was our coach, and said, you know, Guy wants to make a comeback and wants to come and play. And Phil says, bring him on. And like, you know, you're hesitant because I can't believe, I think he might have been 35, 36, maybe 37 at that time. And you come out there, and then I'm sitting there watching him. I said, look at this guy still flying out there.
At that level, though, it is entertainment. I'm sure there was more than just Phil Esposito. I'm sure some of the big shots in New York would said, hey, if we can get Lafleur in here, we're going to get more people out here watching and putting a spotlight on the Big Apple, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, you know, you get a Hall of Famer and a great player like Guy Lafleur wants to come back and play. Like Phil says, you don't say no.
I wanted to make mention of some of the others, and you reminded me before going on, I wanted to make sure we got comments about Mike Bossy as well. If you're just tuning in to 107.5 Today FM, Don Murdoch, who broke into the NHL with the New York Rangers, is on live with us here, has his Hockey in the Rockies school. Still holds, I believe, two records over in Medicine Hat before he got to the NHL, but Mike Bossy, my goodness, even without statistics, just going from Uniondale back to Madison Square, there's a lot goes on there, too, between the rivalries going to and from, isn't there?
Oh, like I said, you know, you've got the Battle of Alberta out here, and you got Toronto, Montreal, but the Islanders-Rangers is definitely a heated rivalry, and like I said, I was in the league a year before him, and then when he came in the league, you know, like, you know, when we used to play the Islanders and Philadelphia Flyers, seems like we play them like maybe a half dozen times in exhibition, and then the regular season you played them probably 10, 12 times, and then playoffs. So got to see Mike Bossy play, but he was, you know, I don't think he was as fast as Guy Lafleur, but they had a lot of the same thing, coming down that wing and shooting that puck. They both had tremendous shots.
It's interesting. You're a goal scorer as well, but they always say goal scorers just can wait that extra half second to put the puck in the net, and I think that both Mike Bossy and Guy Lafleur could do that.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, you watch them, like, and there'd be a spot in the ice that you don't think a guy would shoot from, but the guys like Bossy and LaFleur, they could shoot from these impossible angles and still put it in the net. They were tremendous goal scorers.
You were talking about the original six, and I want to talk about the arenas, and I'm just trying to go off memory here. I believe Madison Square is the only original left.
That's it.
The Olympiad's done in Detroit. The Forum, Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yeah, Boston, they've all changed. Madison Square Garden, they did a big reno there, like hundreds of millions of dollars, but it's the only one that's an original at the same place.
What do you remember about Madison Square?
Well, that's funny because, excuse me, when I went in to sign my contract, I can remember, you know, flying into New York, and then we went to the go to Madison Square Garden to go up to see John Ferguson, the general manager, and I can remember going in there, you know, you go to Madison Square Garden, and all of a sudden they say, we get in an elevator, and we're going up to the fifth floor, and I'm thinking we should be going down five floors, and you went up the five floors, and all of a sudden that's where the ice was, and then the other five floors was up where the fans was, so it was kind of amazing to first see Madison Square Garden.
Even though it's as big and has the profile that does, Jim Robson once told me he was at the Midsummer Hockey Game in Penticton, and he said, actually, the broadcast booth is terrible there. He said, you can't see the one corner. He said, you'd have to add live to do that. We're 10 away from 9 o'clock, and we want to pass along memories of Guy Lafleur here today. And I can just imagine what it's like, especially for French Canada down in Montreal today. Don, what's it like around the Forum? They say that, really, once they got out of the Forum and went to the Bell Centre, even the fans, it's different now. It was more of a night out, and now it's more of a party atmosphere. But that's changed a lot, too, hasn't it?
Well, the one thing from the old buildings to the new buildings, like I said, I was just up in Edmonton, and that's the first time I've been in that. You know, I played for the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, the Northlands.
We played in Northlands. Arenas back then were built more for the fans to watch the game. And, you know, I noticed, like, you know, going to Edmonton just this past week, you know, watching Dallas and Colorado play, like you say, it's a party atmosphere. It's just, it's built to make sure the fans have one heck of a time, and it's always loud, and it's pretty exciting. But you, like you say, it's like a night out. Yeah.
Very good. You bumped into Bowen Byram when you were up the road there too, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, unfortunately I got to see him play, you know, as I was telling you, Dennis, Ken Holland's one of my best friends, the general manager, and he invited me up to watch games, and I ran into Bowen in the lobby there, and we had a good talk, and he played there, and he's doing better. I mean, he had a couple of tough concussions there, but he's played really good that game. Unfortunately, they lost, and I had a good talk with his mom and dad, and he's come along really well. He's going to be a tremendous hockey player.
Boy, that's 40-year roundabout as we talk about some of the players that we've lost. It's not only Guy Lafleur and Mike Bossy. There's many others we've lost this year. You were going off the top of your head before we got off microphone, but
there was, like I said, just this year alone, a teammate of mine, Rod Joubert, who was tremendous to me when I first came in as a rookie, passed away, and then a guy I worked with for 14 years scouting with the Tampa Bay Lightning is Tony Esposito, and then we lose Clark Gillies and Bossy and LaFleur. That's five, you know, Hall of Famers we've lost in 1 year in this hockey world.
That generation. They're really not that old either.
No, yeah. Not really. Not when you're getting to be my age. You're like, you know, you get up there and you see these guys, like Bossy was a year younger than me. Guy's only 5 years older. So it's a sad, sad time for hockey, that's for sure.
Very good. Anything else while we've got you here today, Don? Just trying to recall memories of the Montreal Canadiens back in the day. Ken Dryden, and I wanted to ask you something else that you may or may not know about. And this is watching the hockey legends. I wasn't there. They say that Guy Lafleur, you couldn't practice the power play with him. They said he was the most frustrating guy on the power play. I guess he couldn't work a system. And they said, we just put him out there when we needed an extra guy and he'd get it done. It's interesting. You always have to work with the personalities, and I guess you've got to give a little bit of wiggle room to the guys that can score. Have you heard that story before?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, you know, that there's guys that play a certain way, and the coach doesn't want to come in and try to, you know, you don't want to change a guy. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. He scores 50 goals every year. You're not going to come in and say, well, you know what? Maybe you should try doing this or try doing that. You know, yeah, I think you kind of leave the superstars alone, let them do their own thing, and they'll adjust to any situation.
Yeah, Larry Robinson was saying on the NHL Legends, he says, boy, when he first came on the team, this guy will never be able to work the power play, so they just put put him out when they needed an extra guy.
And
did it that way. His break in years, though, they said it took about 3 years for him to get going. And there's a lot of pressure because he came out of Thurso, Quebec as a little kid, and they wanted a lot out of him right away, too.
Well, and you got to remember, you know, a guy like Guy Lafleur, you know, back then, you know, I was playing junior hockey or just starting to play junior hockey when he broke in. But, you know, number one, you're playing in Montreal where the pressure is unbelievable, like Toronto. And here's a guy comes in, the number one pick. They moved, you know, I think it was Sam Pollock moved, made some trades to make sure they got that pick. But, you know, he came in there, and again, you know, there's a lot of pressure. But, you know, he still had decent years, 27, 28, 29, 30 goals. And then after that, I think once he just found that his way and comfortable, he just took off, and then the 50-goal season just come left and right.
The media was hard on him at first with the pressure. I guess Yvon Cornoyer, I guess, is the guy that took him aside and said, you can't listen to everybody else. That's got to be tough, too.
Well, you know, too, the other thing is he's coming into Montreal that's winning, you know, how many Stanley Cups before he even got there. And then you've got guys like, you know, Cornoyer there, Beliveau, you've got Serge Savard, you know, Guy Lapointe. So they had a lot of all-stars there that I'm sure they would have took him under his wing and said, hey, kid, don't worry about this, just get out there and play. And then once he got comfortable with the league and figures he can do this, and that's when he explodes.
Yeah, the other thing that you would have in common with Guy, though, too, is you come from such small towns and you're put in cities where you've got 18, 20,000 people watching every night. That's got to be an adjustment, too.
Oh, it is. Like I said, you know, there's a lot of pressure coming up to play. You know, you're happy to get there, but the biggest thing is to stay there. And like you said, you come in there and expectations are made of you, and you can put a lot of pressure on yourself. But, it's definitely coming from junior hockey or something or university and jumping into buildings full of 20,000 fans.
The people that went before him, and they're calling him one of the big three now in Montreal, but of course, Maurice Rocket Richard and then Jean Beliveau after. Did your paths ever, did you get to meet them? They were retired when you got in there, but they must have been watching games when the Rangers went into Montreal, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, you know, when we played the Montreal Canadiens, we played them in the Stanley Cup Finals. Well, that's, you know, unfortunately for us, but that's when Guy won his last Stanley Cup, was beating us in the Stanley Cup Finals in 79. That was his last Stanley Cup. But when you're in the Stanley Cup Finals, there's a lot of media and a lot of, you know, ex-players come out. So, you know, we got to meet Jean Beliveau and Tobe Blake. A lot of those guys were around. So you got to see them, just like a lot of the old veterans from the Rangers. You know, they all come out for the Stanley Cup Finals. So got to meet a lot of players back in those days.
It's interesting how a lot of them became ambassadors for the game, though. Obviously, they like people. They must.
Yeah. Well, you know what, too, is hockey players have always said that they're the most down-to-earth athletes around. They'll stop, sign an autograph. Most of them are from small towns, and you'll find out that 99.9% of the hockey players like to stay in the game or are just good around people that ambassador the game. If it's in the NHL, if it's coaching peewee hockey, or if it's coaching bantam hockey, I think you'll find that hockey players are pretty good people for that way.
Giving back to, boy, you have. The hockey school started how many years ago now, Don?
Oh, I think Colin Sinclair and I started this one almost 10, 12 years ago, and then we had the one up in Invermere. So the one in Cranbrook has been really good for us. It started out slow, but, you know, as you know, it's picked up, and Colin does a tremendous job with the kids on the ice, and it's just starting to, you know, and it's so great to see that we're getting so many kids. We're sold out, and the kids love the hockey, and we're happy to be able to give something back to these kids and hopefully make them better so they can get on and enjoy the game more.
Excellent. We'll be doing that again in August. We're just about a minute and a half away from the 9 o'clock news. Thank you, Riley. I know you're standing by. Thanks again for coming in. Any last words about Guy Lafleur or Mike Bossy or any of the five that we've talked about, that the profile players that you got to meet along the way, Don?
Well, as I just said, that you know, you play against these guys on the ice, and we have rivalries. Like, I mean, I hated the Islanders. You know, you don't like Montreal or something. But when we get off the ice, everybody's pretty well friends. You do what you do on the ice, And when it comes to off the ice, those guys were all great ambassadors off the ice. And it was just a pleasure for the short career I had. I got to play against those guys and get to meet them and say that they were friends of mine.
But you did get to go with the NHL Legends, which I didn't know that.
Yeah, I played some NHL Legends back in the days. Did a 10-day stand out in Saskatchewan, and Guy was there, Jimmy Mann, you know, Morris Lukowicz, Mike Vernon. There was a lot. That's a lot of fun. That's the camaraderie you like.
Probably going from a kitchen to a living room right now. The Guy Lafleur funeral should be starting in Montreal right about now. We'll get caught up on that and get caught up on the local news. Again, I want to thank Don Murdoch for coming live in studio with us this morning, for bringing back that period in time and paying proper respects to some hockey players and pretty good Canadians, too, over the years.